third time we're having our annual business meeting this coming Sunday, the 12th. This will be done during the second session. All voting members of Maranatha Church are asked to attend. In that regard, there will be a time change this weekend, so take note of that. We might even text you on it to double remind you. I'll talk to John about that. This is also a reminder that we'll not be having the Lord's Table this month. We've moved it to even months. The next time will be in April the 9th. And again, we still need, I don't know what the situation is, but we need help in the toddler's room. Could use some substitutes. We won't take you out of Bible class, hopefully more than one time at a setting a week. Contact Stacy or Jeff Town. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open your Bibles to Romans 13 and your notes to Romans 13, 8, verse 8. All right, let's take the customary time to implement, if we need to. This is for everybody here. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You're either under the control of the Holy Spirit or you're out of fellowship and being ruled by the flesh. This is your opportunity to get yourself in fellowship. Don't be a distraction to those around you. You may be ill at certain times. You can get up and leave. It's not a problem. Can't plan everything. But this isn't a place to sleep, spiritually or otherwise. This is a place to concentrate on the Word of God. Get in fellowship like truth matters, because it does. Let us pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can continue to have the wherewithal, the resources, the protection, so that we can continue spiritually with the mind of Christ and the divine viewpoint of things, by which all flesh in the end will be evaluated. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, obligations to our fellow man. And this goes beyond just our relationship to fellow believers, but to people in general. We dealt with the issue of our responsibility to the laws of divine establishment, and now we have our obligations to our fellow man presented in this form. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Owe nothing. Ophilo is the present imperative of the verb owe. And we have medeis, the adjective nothing, followed by the adjective medeis, not at all. So, owe nothing to anyone except, which is a combination of a particle, two particles, I and may, except to love, it's the infinitive, the present infinitive, of agapao, to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, love is the article with the participle, agapao again. He who loves his neighbor. The word neighbor is actually heteros, another. That's what the word is. He who loves another has fulfilled, perfect indicative, to fulfill something, the definite article, the law. This could only, this is the law in the Old Testament, which you say, well, we're not under the law, but there are principles within the Mosaic Covenant that are timeless and did not just begin with the Mosaic Law. From the very beginning, the obligation here is found, but to love your neighbor and thus fulfill the law. There are things that you cannot be doing and loving your neighbor. This is listed here in certain of the commandments. For this is just a definite article with the gar for this. And this is like a listing. You shall not, strong negative, OU, commit adultery. Future active indicative, moi kuo, to commit adultery. You shall not murder. Future indicative, phronuo. That's the word to murder. And all these are a future tense, well, with a strong negative. You shall not steal. Future indicative of klepto. We have the word kleptomaniac. You shall not steal. And now we have, finally, a mental attitude sin. All those are big-time overt sins. Adultery, murder, and stealing. The last one is covet. To covet something, that's a future indicative, epithumeo. You shall not covet, could be translated. You shall not lust. Function under the lust pattern of the sin nature. And if there is any other commandment, and if there is any pronoun tis, other, heteros. Heteros means, like heterosexual. Heteros means another of the same kind. Falls into the same category. And if there is any other antole, commandment, it is summed up in the saying. All right? It is in the saying, in with the word logos, the word with the article, the saying. This saying, some is the present passive indicative, ana ke phi lao, means to sum up, only found twice, that big long verb, here and in Ephesians 1:10. It is summed up in this saying, in preposition, and you have a definite article which does a lot of, can do a lot of service, in this definite article, you shall love, present active imperative, agapao, you shall love. Now we have the actual word for neighbor. Placeion, as yourself, adverb, as you, yourself, a little redundant sounding in the Greek, has the pronoun you plus yourself, sautu. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, with the definite article, does no wrong to a neighbor. Second use of the word placeion. Therefore, no wrong is the adjective kalos, wrong, bad. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love, excuse me, is the fulfillment is that therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. I left out the word does. It's down in the lesson. Present indicative, ergazomai, bring about. Love does not bring about a wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfillment, pleroma, the fulfillment of the law. Love, agape, law. Okay. One, in these verses, Paul sets forth our Christian responsibilities to our fellow man. As noted last night, we have divine viewpoint with regard to our attitude and relationship to those who are responsible in the establishment chain of command, government, local, on up. Those who administer and maintain the things that we appreciate, that enables us to live without a lot of concern, using good judgment, a lot of concern with regard to the misconduct of others, but that of course involves that you stay clear of these people, stay away from them as much as possible. You may work for people who are lawless. I don't mean necessarily that they are involved in crime, but they act the way they do. You have to make the most of that. But we're dealing with our responsibility to anybody out there. We have many, many scriptures dealing with our responsibility to one another within the community of positive volition, and Christians in general, of course, but our responsibility to believers. Paul addresses the subject in terms of the law of love. So if it's coming from a Christian, a believer with doctrine, then the Christian is exuding agape love. There's human love, that's fine, and it's good when it's pure and unadulterated and up front, but we're dealing here with the law of love, and that is the first and the preeminent fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are, and there's a listing of things, mercy, kindness, forbearance, so forth and so on. And of course, love is preeminent. Because God is love, it is a divine attribute, and he has certainly demonstrated his love for the human race at large, and they're not lovable because he provided his son a sacrifice so that people could come to salvation, and that is the manifestation of his love. Love, the agape love that we talk about when we're in Bible class and present to you, agape love does not displace the commandments found in the law. They do not displace those. In fact, you can't be involved in these commandments, all of which we looked at his listing, negative commandments. Do not do these items listed here. And he wouldn't be writing this to Romans if believers weren't capable of committing these kinds of sins. And they are. Rather, it is by applying the commandments we demonstrate our love for our fellow man. Things we don't do to people or toward people. Our neighbor or fellow man encompasses all those we come in contact with, not just our next door neighbor, but everybody we come in contact with. We are to comport ourselves appropriately towards those on the outside and not do certain things, if possible, to do the right things, but here, avoiding these things. Rather, it is by applying the commandments is by applying the commandments we demonstrate our love for our fellow man. Five, our neighbor or fellow man encompasses all we come in contact with, not just our next door neighbor. Six, the opening imperative is that we should not have any unpaid debts, that we should take care of these things and be up to date with these things. It doesn't mean we don't have any financial obligations. We always have financial obligations. We always owe, I got to pay the, I got to get the utility bill in on time, as an example. That's a debt you've incurred, and you get a statement, and you pay it, because it is an obligation. So it basically is saying we should not find some way to shirk our responsibility with regard to paying our debts. I know things happen. Situations arise. Unforeseen. Obviously, this is just dealing with when all things are in order. We're not dealing with the fact that someone might have suddenly their business, where they worked, the business folded, or they were without work for a period of time and it had to catch up later. You can't do the impossible. So the opening imperative is that we should not have any unpaid debts, insofar as it is possible for us to do this and get these things right. Now, I know believers who have filed bankruptcy. Now, whether that's a sin or not, look, they filed bankruptcy. It is possible within the legal system. It is the thing you want to do. We had a when I was a kid, we had a real bad period season with regard to our raising sheep, thanks to coyotes. And my dad had to fold the whole operation. And in our terms today, it wasn't a ton of money. But then it was. He could have filed bankruptcy. He didn't. He took a lowly job, taking care of veterans in a veterans hospital. I mean, you go from being a rancher, and everyone knows you, right, to doing that. And then shortly thereafter, we moved to St. Louis, where he worked for the federal government in procurement. And my mom was a secretary in that. But anyway, he paid that all off. He didn't let it go. So it's these things happen. Believers have done it. Believers in this church have done it in the past. It's not, you know. But we should not have any unpaid debts. I can't cover every base on these things. But if you're trying to do the right thing before God, then you're going to take care of your commitments. This imperative is not to be taken as being against borrowing. A lot of us wouldn't even have a house or an automobile, because those things require a pretty good, typically, a pretty good chunk of money. So we have a system of paying off these things in installments. Now, some of them aren't as wise. You know, if you got some goofy credit card with high interest rates, I'd get rid of the darn thing, get somebody else, and try your very best. They don't care. They don't care if you get, tabbed for that you didn't pay the whole thing. They don't care. It's just extra money out of your pocket if you can pay the whole thing off. This is just, but basically this is just taking care of your financial house. Getting it and keeping it in order. Yes, there are things that can happen that are unforeseen. That's why you got prayer and other things going for you. The imperative is not to be taken as being against borrowing from others in case of living grace need. Scripture allows this. Exodus 22:25. In the extreme, the wicked borrows and does not repay. But the righteous shows mercy and gives. The righteous are adjusted to the fact that from time to time, you may have opportunity to help another person out in some financial need. You should always keep that as something that is a high application. This was one of the things that accounted for the prosperity of Job. He didn't start off a rich man's son. He worked his way up the ladder. And when he had a little, he shared it. It's in Job. And God rewarded him in addition to other factors in his life as a believer. Some guidelines. This is just general. It doesn't, cover all the bases. Do not borrow unnecessarily. Oh, I got to have it. I got to have it now. Let's get this. Again, I always tell you, it's not wrong to want something. It's not wrong to desire something material that isn't, quote, absolutely essential, like some people may think. It may be an improvement. It may be a new bedroom suite. The other ones you have is run down and this and that, and you would like a new one. So pray about it, always in all things, and let God, in His time and way, do it. A car, a home, these are and transportation. They are pretty much, for most of us, a necessity. I mean, certain people may live in certain environments where they can jump on a bus or they can, but no. Do you hear the crazy stuff? They want to do 15-minute cities. And they want to make Cleveland the first one, where everybody lives in this little area, and within 15 minutes you can walk anywhere you want to go. Oh, that'll be great. I just thought I'd throw that out. Some of the nutty stuff you hear. Make it your goal to be as debt-free as possible. 4, pray about your financial decisions. When you're making any moves along these lines. 4, don't be a miser. We covered this in Ecclesiastes. There's even people with a good amount of money that live like misers. They won't do anything. Even for themselves, they live weird. They live like, you hear about them from time to time. Well, what good's that doing you? Not to mention helping others. So you're going to die with a whole bunch of money in a bank? Balance quality with value. In other words, you don't just go out and always try to buy the cheapest thing you can. What we do owe our fellow man is love. Verse 8b. And there are many ways that we can exhibit this towards those on the outside. Letting them go ahead with their car. Get on out there. Go ahead. Open a door for them. Help them if they have some need. You know? I'm not asking you to stop for everybody to stand on a median with a placard. That's all you'd be doing. But you have to be led of God to do what you're going to do. Doesn't mean you can never do anything like that. You say, well, I don't know if they're just won't work, if blah, 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 and all the rest of it. If you make a mistake, it isn't the end of the world. You have the right motivation to help someone out in some way or another. So what we owe our fellow man is love. Be a good neighbor. Be aware of those in your periphery or your neighborhood to a certain extent. You may be able to help them on occasion with something. The commandments which follow illustrate how we should not treat our fellow man. 12. By adhering to these commandments taken from the Ten Commandments list, we exhibit love for our neighbor. Love does not involve itself. Well, you'd say, well, this is blatantly obvious. Of course it is. It is not showing love to your fellow man to commit adultery with her husband or vice versa. That's not showing love. It couldn't possibly be. And killing someone, yeah, that's definitely a no-brainer. Stealing, it takes many forms. Theft, taking what isn't yours, that's someone else's, of a physical nature. Or rationalizing it. They'll never miss it. And so forth and so on. Now the last one is, you don't love your neighbor as yourself if you're lusting after something that they have. I mean, there's jealousy, but there's also lusting after something they have. We're not to do that. That's a mental attitude. No overt action is involved. It's just a mental attitude of lusting after. You can admire it. You can say it's nice. But lust and the other associated sins, you should avoid those. It's silly anyway. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, we have a listing of both positive and negative manifestations of agape love. Got the wrong chapter, excuse me. Well, I got the wrong, let me see here. Oh, jack. Okay. Just a second. All right. So much for that point. Scratch it. Huh? What? What about it? Yeah. Do I have it right? What a dummy. Not you. That would not be showing love, would it? All right. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Does not brag. Is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. That could involve a lot of different things. Covers a wide... It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. In other words, you know what that is? Holding a grudge. They did that to me. Put it behind you. Bears all, does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Celebrate evil actions on the part of people that are doing or saying things that are we don't celebrate that. But rejoices with the truth. That's where we get our high. Not because someone's making a fool of themselves or exhibiting some STA activity and everyone's cheering. You see it sometimes in events of entertainment. Like a rock concert. Oh, well, they do a lot of that. Rejoicing in unrighteousness. Celebrating it. But rejoices with the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. All things of doctrine, of course. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Okay. Thank you for your help. It was just, I don't know what. Anyway, it doesn't matter. 15. All the commands pertaining to proper behavior can be summed up in one saying. The two great commandments. If you summed up the whole law in personal behavior, there are two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the one in Leviticus 19:18. All the commands pertaining to proper behavior for the Jews living under the law can be summed up in one saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. 16, this is called the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule. That was a term given to it. 17, the words, as yourself, indicates that we do love ourselves. We do care about ourselves. We do many things during the course of the day to benefit ourselves. We sleep. We clean up. We eat, etc., etc. I'll probably go home and have a snack, listen to some music. I love myself, see? But I'm not doing it at the neglect of anyone spiritually. If I had to rise up and someone called me, and I would be all over it to try to help them. Or someone, that's on occasion has it happened, rings my doorbell, even at an inappropriate hour. Drunk. Maranatha church member. Yeah. I didn't make a big deal of it. I just tried to, like I'd always do with anybody, encourage, and they'd fallen out of class. To encourage them to get back in Bible class. Get over this. Some of the hang-ups people have, it's like, did you listen to anything? If someone wrongs you, even if I wronged you, I would hope that if you couldn't just blow it off and move on and say, yes, it's in nature. If it's a one-shot thing, now if it's an ongoing thing, you need to come talk to me. And then if I say, yeah, I was out of line in this, then you have a responsibility to forget it and move on. You expect God to do that with you. I think sometimes, why is that person all of a sudden upset with me? What is so terrible that you can't move forward spiritually? No, we shouldn't make others stumble. But from time to time, we do. Because we open our mouth. We say something that's inappropriate. Jesus said, with regard to believers and their interactions with each other, as in this local church. Offenses will come. Someone will offend you. Well, they're supposed to have doctrine. Come on, don't be naive now. They have doctrine, but they did the wrong thing, and you were the victim of it. Offenses will come. You don't, I'm out of here. Where's that? It's just an excuse. This excludes selfishness. Concern for others fulfills Ephesians 2:4. There's a balance. There's a balance, congregation. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests. He doesn't say don't look out for your personal interests. I look out for mine every day. You need to pay attention. Don't just look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. And God will make it clear to you what that might be. It is unnatural for us to not love ourselves. Ephesians 5. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. You don't go around harming your body, do you? Unless you're some real weirdo. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Because she's a valuable part of your life and existence as a believer. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Because we're members of his body. When we esteem others above ourselves, or when we make sacrifices for the good of others, we fulfill the law of love. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did that. And there have been others who have stepped in the line of fire and saved another person's life. And lost their life in the process. Probably something you'll never have to do. Can you imagine that application? People have done in the military and in other kinds of situations. And you'll read about it occasionally. That someone jumped in front of the would-be killer. Got killed, but slowed it all down and saved others. Romans 5:7, for one will hardly die for a righteous man. Though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're awful. He takes the heat for our sins. That's how we get into the plan. Love for God is supreme. Our love for others should never be at the sacrifice of our love and service, devotion and service to God. Mark 12. If you get anything out of this Bible class, if you've got ears to hear, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God and is serious, now if you don't want to hear it, then it's on your head. But you're under the hearing of it, so you become culpable. Luke 12. This was one of the scribes came up to Jesus and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, hear, O," he quotes the Old Testament, "hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment greater than these." Of course, we can break them down and say these are illustrations of what you shouldn't do or what you should do. By not harming your fellow man, doing him no wrong, you can do something positive and help somebody, come to the aid of somebody, from little minor stuff on up. Or, by not harming him at all, you fulfill this law. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.